This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, a new effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's been a long time since I've been this excited about a new natural medical innovation. Zona Plus is the real deal. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. To find out more, go to tryzona.com or call toll-free 1-888-408-6141. That's 1-888-408-6141 or tryzona.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today we're going to talk to a frequent contributor to Intelligent Medicine. She is really a shining example of what one can do to turn around one's personal health. She has a story that's really worthwhile hearing about. She's also the best-selling author of The Truth About Beauty. The theme of all her work is about personal transformation. And I think she has a very inspiring story. And also she has some very relevant scientific information to transmit about beauty from within. Really, we talk about superficial beauty, about smearing this or that or the other potion on your skin. But really, there's a lot more to it. And if we can get people hooked on health by appealing to their aesthetic sense, yeah, that's certainly a motivator. Kat James is certainly the person to do it. So, Kat, it's a pleasure having you back on Intelligent Medicine.
Great to be it back on, Dr. Hoffman.
Good. So, we have the holidays behind us. Some of our resolutions are falling by the wayside. But this is the time of year of kind of great rectitude because we're getting ready for spring. It's still cold in many parts of the country, but it's also traditionally the time of Lent. A lot of people are gearing up for kind of a post-holiday reboot.
Transformation.
Yeah, exactly. So give us a little bit of a sense of how we might initiate that.
Yeah. You know, I've talked with you before about typical resolutions, and I doubt that your listeners are making typical resolutions. And it's possible, though, that they could even go one step further because the resources and the actions that they can take as a result of your show and just what we do in general, I don't think that many people go as far as to say how it could affect their personality. This is something I've taken a lot of interest in because of my own experience overcoming the eating disorder, the liver disorder, and really coming out of a black era of my life, living under what I often described as a black cloud, and not really knowing until more recently, you know, with all of this new research coming out regarding the microbiome and these personality changes when the rodents are getting the bacteria from the, the anxious rodents are trading their bacteria with the confident rodents, and we're seeing personality changes.
Yeah.
And so many things that we already know about neurotransmitters and dopamine and addiction and motivation that are affected by nutrition. But now, with this bacterial piece, it's amazing to know that these signals to our brain and our very thoughts and behaviors can be instantaneously affected with bacteria using these neurotransmitters to communicate back and forth. And that's a new piece. And it kind of can give a new angle to one's New Year's resolutions or one's goals, I should say, for the next year because we're really past that time. But that we can actually change how we see the world, sometimes our rate of success, how we see our loved ones, so that maybe next Christmas, if we do the right nutritional things, we can come forth with more positive thoughts and behaviors, but also even a greater understanding of our kin and our friends.
Well, I just read an article. I was just, as I sometimes do, my attention deficit disorder takes over and I start to just kind of cruise Facebook. I think we all do that and consecrate some time to it.
Sure.
But sometimes you come across a little bit of a nugget. There was an article there that said that the gut-brain connection is one of the most frequently searched scientific inquiries. There's, and you know, that this is such an exploding area, the relationship between, as you say, the microbiome and brain function. Of course, you're well aware that a big headline over the past couple of weeks is that Alzheimer's disease has now been related to the composition of the microbiome.
Yeah.
As I say, it's not just a matter of, like, you know, just take a probiotic and fix it all up, but clearly there is a relationship that we could possibly shape with our diets, with
Absolutely.
Certain things that we take, supplements, probiotics, and so on.
Yeah, there's no end to the activity and the things that these bacteria and whatever our balance that we achieve, which obviously diet is just has an incredible impact on it. But as far as I mentioned before, things like addiction or outgoingness or even how we process hormones and our inflammatory response and our blood sugar response now are being seen to be or discovered to be affected by the bacteria, and all of those things open brand new cans of behavioral worms, so to speak.
Yeah, there's kind of a double entendre there because we're talking about the gut. Okay, maybe parasites
exactly.
are part of that picture.
Thank you.
we just keep
exactly.
falling into it when we start talking about this stuff. Okay,
yep.
So personality, I mean, you know, Alzheimer's disease, clear-cut diagnosis, you can do MRIs, you can do autopsies, you can see that. That's actually a change in the cells of the brain. But personality is somewhat more ephemeral.
Yeah.
And so how can we relate personality to the foods that we eat, the composition of our microbiome,
sure.
the nutrients that we take? We actually do things to maybe re-engineer our attitudes, our emotions
yeah.
via lifestyle?
Yeah. I mean, it affects everything. Even if you just look at one aspect that I just mentioned of the influence that the bacteria have, it will affect virtually all personality traits in some way or another. And so if you look at Webster's dictionary definition of personality, you've got ways of behaving that make a person different from other people, attractive qualities like energy, friendliness, humor, making the person interesting or pleasant to be with. These are dominated by nutrition. An example, getting beyond the microbiome, is blood sugar. If you look at alcoholics, or there was an island, I think it was in Peru, where they studied and found a lot of violence there, and there was a lot of hypoglycemia, and that correlates with other research on violence. So, so when you look back at the gut bacteria and their ability to help, especially multi-strain bacteria. We can get to how we can, you know, encourage multi-strain bacteria in the gut, having an impact on glycemic control.
It's a little bit like those commercials, you know, are you hangry? You know, it's like
exactly.
They show like a personality who is like vicious, uncontrolled, off the wall. You know, suddenly they give them a Snickers bar,
yeah.
and they're turned
exactly.
docile. But maybe that's not
yes.
the best way to affect that change. I mean, at least they get the idea that, you know, hangry
yeah,
is
exactly.
a real factor, but maybe not the right solution.
The Snickers bar is the short-sighted solution, obviously, and just avoiding the blood sugar spike, which results in that reactive hypoglycemia that I just mentioned, is obviously the way to go. And also just engendering and living a lifestyle in favor of getting the right bacterial balance. Such as not eating the sugar, avoiding excess prescription drugs, avoiding unnecessary antibiotics, and also just doing other things that will feed the good bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
Fermented foods, for example. I mean, who knew that sauerkraut makes that the bacteria in sauerkraut make GABA, which is a neurotransmitter?
Mm.
It's amazing.
So yeah. Take you know, if you're like anxious, eat some sauerkraut. Maybe not so simplistic, but, you know.
Maybe not, but perhaps a little closer to simplistic than we realize.
Okay. Well, you know, another hopeful message is that, you know, some of us believe that our personalities are set in stone. They're genetically determined, or that, you know, in a Freudian sense, childhood events shape who we are, and it's irrevocable. Mm-hmm. But actually, I saw another
yeah.
study, very interesting study, that said that our personalities, when we're, say, 50, 60, or 70, can be very distinct from the personalities we have as adolescents and young adults. That, in fact,
yeah.
In terms of personality traits, which are, I don't know, gregariousness or shyness or whatever, that they can change dramatically. And that's through, I think, efforts at self-transformation, but also perhaps lifestyle measures. I mean, for one, I can think of, you know, the horrible things I did to my body when I was in college, the terrible diet, you know, some of the harmful influences, including a little bit too much in terms of Jack Daniels and partying.
Yeah.
Personality does change. And that's, I think, a helpful message.
Yeah, I mean, there's our influences throughout life that can shape us and happenings, but there's also our predispositions, our genetic, makeup, and some of that can be made up for nutritionally. And there was an interesting book that was called "Alcohol and the Addictive Brain." Kenneth Blum talked about amino acids, healing dopamine receptors, and other things that can have a huge impact on reducing just distress and anxiety. But I've seen in my own work with these retreats that I've done for 17 years, massive personality changes. And I mean, not just quick, but ones where there's no more anxiety in people's behavior and traffic and their relationship with their family because of this turnaround inside and out at the cellular level, but at the bacterial level is so powerful. Absolutely.
Well, you conduct work with groups and with clients. And so describe the nature of that work. What is it that you do to affect these changes?
I'm just finishing up now in this 17th year of doing this, a 3-week retreat with people here in Costa Rica, and
That itself can change your personality. Just go in there. Right.
And to see people from all different walks with different issues affected hormonally, because I think you and I both understand that when people have a lot of ails and certainly syndromes and autoimmune syndromes and a bad relationship with food, that it's not as simple as, oh, hey, let's work out more and eat a few less calories. There's a big hormonal piece, and that, again, is affected by the microbiome. But what I do is help people get off of those foods that literally our bacteria can make us addicted to, and that in turn changes the inflammatory response. It changes the anxiety, the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system balance, bringing back ability to sleep and digest well and be relaxed. And they do come out of it very transformed, and I do get into supplements as well, and recommending, I mentioned multi-strain probiotics being found to have that blood sugar balancing effect, and so I'm very into using probiotics, and Dr. O'Hears is the one that I've talked about in my book, because it's multi-strain. And it's more than probiotics that we need, though. We need prebiotics. There's even a recently coined term called postbiotics, which Marty Wittekin coined.
Yep. And actually, she described that concept on our program, and it was fascinating because I'd never heard that term before. And yeah, we've heard
it is.
We've heard pro, pre, and now post. Can you explain that concept?
Yeah, sure. Now, more people are probably familiar with prebiotic, and you can get the food for bacteria, the optimal food for all kinds of bacteria. We have our own unique bacteria in our gut, and so we want to feed them. But there's also an advantage to taking a probiotic that has never been separated from its own food source. Again, why I like the Dr. O'Hears. But when it comes to postbiotic, as Marty explained to me as well, is that when you have this fermentation process over a few years, you have a natural birth and death of bacteria that leave behind their own organic acids and other substances which strengthen these bacterial strains as well as your own, and they're different byproducts than the prebiotic. And so she coined that postbiotics, and I think that it makes sense to do this because it's added nutrition for your own environment. So it's a foundational thing, not just taking 12 billion of one strain, which if you are already dealing with autoimmune issues and leaky gut, for example, can pose a problem, actually.
Yeah, I think, you know, one way to conceptualize Dr. Hero's probiotic is that, you can get white bread, which is like kind of one slice of the spectrum of nutrition, or you can get a very rich whole grain bread, you know, maybe it's a 7-grain bread or 12-grain bread, which it provides a wide spectrum of nutrients and kind of a shotgun fashion, but also kind of the way that nature generally distributes these nutrients. That's sort of what you get in a multi species product with pre and post biotics as well as the organisms.
Yeah. Almost its own little ecosystem because it's the beginning and the end and the after product. Exactly.
Yeah, and actually there are some studies, and you know perhaps you can elaborate on this. You know, the theme is probiotics can make you happy. You know, there mm-hmm. are some studies that touch upon that. Are there any documented studies that suggest that just simply by taking a probiotic that it will affect, say, anxiety, depression, or mood? Has that been established yet conclusively?
It has. It certainly has. And I wish I could quote some of those exact studies for you right now. But there are a lot of them since around 2004 that have touched on that. And the rodent study, most of it is rodent study, and they're mm-hmm. catching up with some human studies, but there are a handful of really hard-to-ignore studies showing this change in personality. There are certainly more studies showing some of the other effects that I've talked about inflammation can cause depression. Mm-hmm. Those changes in blood sugar have been found to be related to just almost any negative personality or mood swing or trait, from crying spells. The list goes on and on.
We're now beginning to think of depression as maybe an inflammatory disorder of the brain. And we know that many inflammatory disorders like rheumatoid arthritis or MS can be linked to the microbiome, to the gut composition. So, inflamed gut or dysbiosis, mm-hmm. a bad mix of bacteria, and that could be a contributor to brain problems. I guess we can maybe do a little summary of how the gut can affect the brain. For one, I believe that there's strong evidence that neurotransmitters are synthesized in the gut by bacteria, and that you make them in the brain, but some of them come from the gut, and if you have an imbalance, you mm-hmm. may certain neurotransmitters may be associated with fear or negative emotions, or have a deficiency of the ones that are associated with good emotions, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we're just beginning to look at all of this, but psychological disorders of all kinds are being related to this. And now you have a therapy it's being accepted in fact, the new era of psychobiotics where they're going to assign different bacteria mm-hmm. to different emotional issues. Now, I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah.
Whether I think that traditional cultures, and there's another pun,
I'm afraid that that may not work. You know, that's sort of the way that I think conventional medicine thinks. They're looking for like a laser-like mm-hmm. focus. Let's find the specific organism that, say, treats bipolar disorder or schizophrenia.
Right.
And I think it's going to end up being different strokes for different folks. And it's more about balance rather than finding a magic bullet, which is typical of thought in allopathic medicine. I that's my belief anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, I believe that too. I mean, if they're finding GABA produced by the bacteria in sauerkraut, mm-hmm. what about kimchi? I mean, highly doubt that that's going to be the only thing that they've found there. And really, even you know how into the hormone leptin I am, and they found out 2 years ago that even affects to regain not only insulin sensitivity but sensitivity to the hormone leptin had a huge positive change on the microbiome.
Yeah.
And one of the things that they found was that the slimness bacteria went up and the obesity bacteria went down. And I think that's just the beginning of it. They just said it had huge impact on the microbiome. So we have the control, I think, already.
Right. And then, of course, there's the leaky gut syndrome. Can you describe how that may influence brain function?
Sure. And what happens there is you have autoimmune problems going out of control. But what's interesting is that there is also a stress to gut connection that goes mm-hmm. in the other direction.
Yep.
And so stress can actually cause you to have more of these proteins that actually cause leaky gut. So that's a brand new thought, because certainly we're blaming the chlorine and the birth control pills and so many other things for that. But also there are things in our environment and in our food supply, the glyphosate, for example, and we just have to be as vigilant as ever. But still, it seems the answer is in just these little choices that we make and not something someone can give us at the doctor's office.
Then there's this thing called the vagus nerve. And I used to say the vagus nerve, I haven't the vaguest idea what it does, but that's because it does so many things. And actually science really has only scratched the surface of what it does, but it's in the gut. Yeah. If you get punched in the stomach, here's a good example of vagus nerve. You know, it just paralyzes you. You know, martial arts experts know that if you hit somebody in the solar plexus, they're out of commission. But the vagus nerve travels all through the gut. You can actually access it on acupuncture points, different places, even on the ear. And it is something which there's actually crosstalk between the bacteria in your gut, the foods that you eat, and your vagus nerve. And the vagus nerve may have impact on your emotions, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And so there's the heart-brain connection, too, and Jim LaValle certainly talks about that in great terms. Mm-hmm. But there's this, it seems almost triangular, but we're definitely going to be hearing more about the brain-heart connection, but also affecting how the heart beats, but it's also affecting that balance between sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system.
Fight or flight versus anxiety, relaxation. Yeah, right. So whether you're in a relaxed state.
And that affects digestion. It goes back to digestion.
Right, right.
That it affects
so there's
as
a
well.
Two-way street, complex interplay. The brain, through sensing stress, can literally change the gut function and the microbiome, and vice versa. As constant back and forth nerve transmission. And so we need to pay attention to, you know, not just, you know, reading good psychology books and, you know, doing yoga, having good talk therapy.
Right.
But we need to do this via diet, via supplements, especially supplements that encourage the growth of good bacteria. All right, we set the stage for our conversation in part two. I want to focus more on, you know, some specific suggestions, other supplements, lifestyle, and diet in part two. We're talking about new year, new personality, a new area in nutritional transformation with today's guest, transformation expert, Kat James, author of The Truth About Beauty. Please stay with us for part two. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.